in the presence of fear. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about living in the extreme, and the extreme and extraordinary circumstances that are happening in our world today. And you say, well, are you going to keep on preaching about this stuff? Yes. Because I think God has given us a unique opportunity to share our faith. I think God has given us a unique opportunity to show that faith truly works. That we can have peace that passes understanding even in the midst of all these things. And we need to go our way until our way is finished. We need to find rest. We need to understand that we have an inheritance. We need to keep our spirit in check. We need to have compassion on others. We need to help and not hoard. We need to encourage and bring people hope. We need to be committed right now, especially right now. And then we need to keep our sight on Christ. We need to keep our spirit in check. But there's a lot of things happening right now. We are surrounded by fear. This week, I had a coworker, and he asked me this question. He was serious. He said, are we all going to die? And my answer to him was, yes, we are all going to die, but not right now. Because the Bible says, as it appointed a man once to die, and after this, the what? Judgment. I've been asked, is this God's judgment on America? Could be. If you are doing something wrong, and this is bringing you close to God, and you want to get your life right, that's God's judgment. If this is a motivation for us all to turn to Him, that could either be a trial or a judgment. But the issue is where are we looking in this time? You turn on the TV now, and now it's all about mental health in this time of stress. What do you need to do? You need to keep a routine. But you need to keep Christ first place. And you're like, we're surrounded by fear. There's a story in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Once again, Christ is ministering. And he says, let's all get in a boat and let's go to the other side. And as they get in the boat, Christ is up in the front of the boat and he falls asleep. Well, as he's asleep, there's a great storm that arises, and the disciples in the boat are fearful because water's coming in the boat and they think they're going to drown. And Christ is at rest. He's at sleep. He's at peace. You know why? Because he said, we're going to get to the other side. And folks, I want to give you some encouragement this morning. We're going to get to the other side. We're going to get to the other side of this situation. And we're going to get to the other side of this life. And we'll be with him in eternity. But he said, we're going to be, they forgot the promise that they were going to get to the other side. And so as the waves come in the boat and the storms and the boat's being tossed, they were scared for their lives. They were fearful. And they woke Christ up and they said, Lord, help us. Help us. And Christ got up and says, oh, ye of what? Little faith. And he stands up and he rebukes the wind. And as much as a storm was happening, there was a great calm. And everybody in the boat marveled. Except Christ, he knew exactly what he was going to do. You know, there's a lot of storms in our life. God said, we're going to get to the other side. And we need to trust in him. And we don't need to be asleep at it. But we need to keep Christ in sight. So this morning, I want to talk about things that we are fearful of. And why? 71 times in the Bible, there is the phrase, fear not. Over 20 times in the Bible, Old and New Testament, God or Christ, Jehovah, God the Father, or Christ the Son, God the Son, says, fear not. These are a lot of scary times. And we should fear not. We should keep our spirit in check. We should go our way. So I want to talk about three fears that are prevalent today. There is the fear of uncertainty. How long is this going to last? God knows. I don't. Well, I wanted to retire this year. And now my 401k is gone. And I don't know if it'll ever come back. And I don't know if I can retire this year. There's uncertainty. I don't know if this is going to impact my family. I don't know what is going to happen to me if these things happen. I don't know when I'm going to find toilet paper again. But there's a lot of uncertainty out there. You know what happens when you have uncertainty? It leads to worry. Christ, God told Daniel, he says, go your way. And it leads to uncertainty. And it leads to, at least fear of uncertainty leads to worry. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, be careful or be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I hope through this time of trial that you are praying more. I hope through this time of trial that the church is praying more. I hope through this time of trial that we're looking at Christ more. Because all these things are out of our control. All these things are extraordinary things that take us out of our comfort zone. Even in our family, we talk at night and there's some worry at times. We discuss it also. You know, it's okay to be fearful initially, but what do you do in reaction to the fear? You can sit there and worry about it and fret about it, or you can come to Christ and you can rely on His peace. He says, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, in the Sermon on the Mount, Christ says this, He says, and take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And there's a lot of bad things. We're hearing the negative. But you know something? In all the negative, there's positive. There are people helping one another. There are people praying. There are people praying. Folks, what we need to do, we need to focus our eyes on Jesus. It leads to worry. But our future, the Christian's future, is certain. In Titus chapter 3, verse 7, it says that being justified by His grace, anyone who has a relationship with Jesus Christ is justified in the sight of God, and we have a home in heaven. And we'll be able to stand before God at the final judgment because of His grace. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know, Christ is never going to disown us. He's never going to take our inheritance away. God told Daniel, He says, you shall stand in your lot at the end of your days. Christ says, I go and prepare a place for you. And then He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and take you home. Folks, our future is certain at the end of this life. Our future being certain at the end of this life should give us hope in this time. And hope can overcome worry. And hope can allow us to live in areas of uncertainty. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, the writer of Hebrews says this. It says that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have what? Strong consolation. That's hope. That's peace. That's grace in this time. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. See, the fear of uncertainty can lead to worry. The fear of uncertainty should cause us to look forward to what our future will have. The fear of uncertainty should understand as we look forward to that, we still have work to do to overcome this fear. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11, the Bible says this, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence in the full assurance of hope unto the end." If this situation has you scared, think of the disciples in the boat when they had Christ in the boat. Think of Peter when he was walking on the water and he looked around and he started falling. We still have Jesus. And Christ is our hope. And what we need to do is we need to have diligence. We need to have diligence to look in this hope. Diligence not to worry. Diligence to do the right thing. In Romans chapter 12, verse 12, the Bible says that we're supposed to rejoice in hope, which allows us to be patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. As I've been studying God's Word, I find that when there are challenges that we must face, there's always something in that passage that deals with prayer. Because that's how we get power from God. That's how we can cast our cares on Him. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, the Bible says this. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." These are not times in which we can sit here and laugh about them. We might on the other side. But when we're going through a trial, there's two ways of doing it. You can worry about it and take your eyes off Jesus and sink. Or we can have the peace that passeth understanding, which is Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, the very next verse. After Paul writes, "Be anxious for nothing." And 4:7 says this, "And the peace of God that passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So we need to be filled with joy and peace when we exercise faith and belief. And then if that's the case, that we can abound in hope. We talked about last week that what we should be able to do is to help and to encourage those around. There are some tremendous opportunities right now to minister. And if you're trying to do things to help one another, great. If not, you're wasting an opportunity. So we abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So the fear of uncertainty can cause one of two options in the Christian's life. We can worry about it and get discouraged and start to sink and look around at the storm and say, there's no hope. Or we can look to the promise of eternity and the fact that Christ will never leave us or forsake us. And He's right there right now, and cry out to Him. But we have to work at it. So that's dealing with the fear of uncertainty. There is the fear of not being ready. Boy, when this all came out, everybody started flooding the stores, and then there were things missing. And some people said, "Well, I don't have the thing now." And as I said earlier, people said, "Well, I wanted to retire right now, and now I don't think I have enough." See, my Bible tells me this, that my Christ shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Now, the one point is, if we're not prudent in these times, if we're not preparing, if not prepared, then that's an issue that you have to deal with. We just have to look forward. I've been unemployed twice in my life. The first time was kind of scary because we didn't have anything. And after we said that, after we went through that, I said, that's not going to happen again. And so we prepared, and the second time, we were fine. And so the issue is we need to prepare. Because if we don't, we're not showing forethought. In Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 32, Christ gives two examples about being prepared. And it really is talking about his disciples following him and understanding what it'll take to be Christ's disciple. In verse 28, he says this. He says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the what? The cost. Whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all the people watching, all the people watching said, well, he couldn't finish what he started. Oh, behold, all that behold began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." Folks, we have a foundation of Christ, and we're supposed to build on that. And we're supposed to have God build us a building that's all fitly joined together. And then there's a second example. In verses 31, it says, "Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able to at 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. See, that's plan A. And if plan A doesn't work, then there's a plan B. Or else, while the other is a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and dire conditions of peace. See, the issue is I guarantee failure to plan is planning to fail. If you don't have a goal, you will never meet it. If you're hunting ducks, you've got to aim at something. You just can't shoot the shotgun up there and expect to hit something. We have to be prudent about this. And if things are happening to you because you weren't ready for them, well, there's a lesson in there. And when we get through this, you can learn that lesson and not make the same mistake of Christ again. But we all need to plan. We need to plan for now. We need to plan for the future. So the fear of not being ready is, oh my, I didn't get this done. Oh my, I didn't get that done. Oh my, I'm not ready. And it turns in on yourself and you get frustrated. But see, faith is tried in times of lack. There's a great story about this widow woman in a place called Zarephath. And it was talking about a prophet by the name of Elijah. And in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 10 through 16. "So he arose and went to Zarephath," he being Elijah. "And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, I don't have anything. But a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. See, she had run out of hope. She had gone beyond worry and kind of resigned herself to the fact that she was not going to get out of this situation. But the man of God came. The man of God came. The power of God came. And it says, and Elijah said unto her, fear not. Fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But before you have your last meal, make me one too. Make me one too. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make it for thee and for thy son. And sometimes we're asked to do something when we think it's a physical impossibility. Sometimes we're asked to exercise faith when we're in a situation that we just don't have an answer to. And so she makes a meal for Elijah. And lo and behold, she made a meal for herself and her son.
Amen.
Verse 14 says, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste or shall not empty, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. But my God shall supply all your... Take no thought of tomorrow. Yesterday, in our family, Angie's getting a little bit stir crazy, being locked up. And so I said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go out, and we went through a drive-thru, and we got our meal, and we just went out and sat in the car and just kind of looked at stuff. And as we were eating, we were underneath a tree, and these doves showed up. And one dove, he started picking at the ground, and then the mate showed up, and they started picking up the ground. And then there was another pair of doves that showed up, and another pair of doves, and the grackles came. But as we were sitting there looking at this, and it made me think of what Christ told. He says, take no thought of tomorrow. Take care of yourself. God knows what we need. See, God knew exactly what that widow woman needed. When the nation of Israel went out of Egypt, they went in 3 days' journey and they ran out of water. God knew they needed water. When they ran out of food, God knew that they needed food. When they needed to build a tabernacle in the wilderness, God knew that. And God made water come out of remarkable places. God made manna come down out of heaven. And God had given them enough stuff that they had more than enough to build the tabernacle. See, God knows what we need. If He could take care of doves and grackles, He can take care of us. You know what they were doing? They were just going their way. They were just doing things that birds do. And they were eating. And what we need to do is we need to go our way and find rest. And we'll stand in our lot at the end of days. It says here, and she says, nothing's going to happen to that meal. Nothing's going to happen to that oil until God sends rain. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and he and her house and did eat many days. Just not a week. Many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. See, God will not forsake the faithful. God will not forsake the faithful. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 25, David writes this. He says, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. See, God knows what we need. God knows what we need to get through the situation. And it's there if we trust out in Him. And we're willing to be a servant. So there's a fear of uncertainty that could cause us to worry or cause us to exercise faith. There's the fear of being without. And if it's because we're not being prudent, oh well. But God Himself says, hey, you need to plan for stuff. And then, but not trust in that plan, but trust in the God of the plan. And then God will provide. The last thing is there's the fear of negative consequence. There's the fear of negative consequence. All these things happening to me, I just don't understand why. You know? The fear of judgment or the fear of negative consequence should cause us to do right. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 31, it says, for if we sin willingly after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye shall be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and accounted the blood of His covenant, wherewith He was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. See, God's calling us. This is a wake-up call. This is a tremendous opportunity that people could turn to God. You know, they passed a big multi-trillion dollar stimulus bill. Where's that money coming from? How's that going to be done? Man's way will always fall short, and it will always be insufficient. But God's grace will never run out. God's grace will never run out. He says, for we know Him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will repent. Recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge His people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. I'm not talking about losing your salvation here. But we're talking about living as if God doesn't exist. And right now, this ought to be a wake-up call to all of us that we should live our lives holy to Him. And if we go out and we do something against God's will, guess what? He's not going to bless. Guess what? He's not going to provide. Guess what? It is judgment. And we need to be understanding of that. See, it should cause us to do right. It should cause us to turn to Him. But oftentimes the negative consequences have to occur first before we start doing anything about it. And it often comes after the fact. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, there's a story of a thing that displeased God. And basically what happened was David took a census. And the thing displeased. You know why? Because David wanted to see how many people he had. His general said, don't do this. It's not a good thing. He says, you got all this. He says, you're powerful. You don't need to do it. But David did it anyway. And how many times have we as kids did, don't do that. We did it anyway. And we got the negative consequence. I'm sorry. No, you're sorry because you got caught. But don't we do the same thing to God? We go outside God's will and out of His provision. And then all of a sudden, we get negative consequences. And say, oh, Lord, help me. I just don't understand why you're doing so mean to me. No. It's not that at all. So in 11 to 14 of 2 Samuel 24, so this prophet shows up. The prophet's name is Gad. And he shows up and he says, David, what have you been doing? You know, God's not very happy with this. It says, well, when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say to David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come upon thee in thy land? Or will thy flee 3 months before thine enemies? Or will while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in the land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. Folks, when you don't do for God, there's always going to be a negative consequence. David has this opportunity to choose, but none of them are good. If he had done the right thing in the first place, this wouldn't have happened. And it says, and David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord. I'll take 3 days of pestilence and get over with. For his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. Don't let the enemies come in here. I don't want to do this famine thing. This takes too long. Just get it over with. We need to come to God and say, okay, I've wronged. I'm going to take my judgment. Let's get it over with. That could be more like you. And so, the fear of negative consequences often happens when we're in them. Because we didn't do right in the first place. We may not have planned. We may have worried, whatever the case may be. And we're afraid of what is happening. But, you know, there's a way of overcoming fear. And very quickly, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, it says, Solomon writes this, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments, for this is the what? Whole duty of man. Amen. How can you overcome fear? I leave you with this passage. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 through 19, John writes this. It says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he is in God. So here's the multi-step program that God gives us. You've got to believe in his Son. That's the will of God. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to do so today.
Yes.
That'll take off the fear of eternity. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. After you have a relationship with God, are you loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? That's what God, Christ, told the crowd. So you're doing that. You can't love people, you can't love God until you have the love of God and Christ in you. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. I don't care what man can do to me, because I stand in the power of God. Because as he is, so are we in this, in where? In this world right now. There is no fear in love, but perfect or complete love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. You know, when you're scared of uncertainty, that's torment. When you sit there and say, I should have done this, and you don't do it, and now you're fearful that it's not going to work, that's torment. When you know you did something wrong and the consequences are coming, that's torment. Love God. Love God. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
So, how are you loving God right now? Are you blaming God for all the things that are happening? That's not love. That's going to be fear. Or are you loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Because then we can have the peace that passeth understanding. See, we're talking about living in the times of fear. But what we should do is we should live in the possession of faith. So that's my question this morning. Are you living in the possession of faith? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask that you be with time of invitation. Father, if someone does not know you as Savior, Lord, today, I pray that they understand that you died on the cross for their sins, that you were buried, you rose 3 days later, and that you have the power to forgive sins. They will cry out to you and say, Lord, God, forgive me. I believe in your Son. I believe he was a Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for my sins, that he was buried, rose again. to show he has power over death and over sin. I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. And from this point forward, I want you to be Savior of my life. Lord, I pray that you come in and save me. If you've never done that in your life or something like that in your life, you need to do that today. Father, I pray that someone would come to saving knowledge of you. Father, for us that are fearful, Lord, help us to love you more. Help us, Lord, to understand that you know what's going to happen. You can get us through the storm. You can get us the other side, because you promised that. Lord, increase our faith and help us be faithful to you. Lord, change our lives and make us more like you. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Oh.